West Australian mining magnate Andrew Forrest has announced ambitious investments in green hydrogen manufacturing, which he says could transform Australia into an energy superpower. Yesterday, the billionaire miner stood alongside the New South Wales Premier, Dominic Perrottet, who announced a $3 billion investment of incentives for green hydrogen production in that state. Andrew Forrest has also announced this week a partnership with the Queensland Government in what will shape up to be a $1 billion hydrogen operation in Gladstone. Andrew Forrest, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, friend. Thank you.
Your initial investment in green hydrogen in Queensland, I think, announced this week is a $115 million manufacturing plant to produce hydrolyzers. Is this the start of something much bigger?
Yes, it is, Fran. It's the first of many steps across the east coast of Australia. That's an interesting step. It's one of six in Gladstone, which takes it out to over $1 billion. But that is to make electrolyzers. Electrolyzers split water into hydrogen and oxygen, and it doubles the world's capacity of electrolyzers. So it's a really great move for Australia. It's a market which we'll compete with instead of importing everything from overseas. My dream, my passion, Fran, is to get those jobs all making manufacturing green future jobs right here.
Experts and governments are banking on hydrogen as to be the sort of the viable energy replacement source of the future and of coming online in this next decade. But we're really still at the start of this, certainly at scale, which would make it cost effective. Is it too risky to be banking on this hydrogen energy to ultimately replace oil and coal? Or do you think that is definitely the future?
Fran, it's definitely the future. I gave my team 3 months to convert a haul truck, one of those great big haul trucks you see running around mine sites all over the world, to a hydrogen fuel cell. They did it in under 3 months. That truck is working beautifully. Hydrogen, pull a bit of nitrogen out of the air, plenty of that, Fran, converts to green ammonia. And you can run ships with commissioned a ship's engine on it, running at nearly 100% green ammonia, and trains. We've got a green ammonia up to over 70% running in trains. We know now it can power everything. You can make fertilizer from it. You can make steel from it. It's a miracle molecule, which the fossil fuel sector would probably like us not to do. Really discover, but the secret is out, Fran, and we should be using it everywhere because it has zero pollution.
Well, hydrogen comes in many colours. You're talking green hydrogen made from renewables, zero emissions. The Federal Energy Minister, Angus Taylor, usually speaks of clean hydrogen. What do you understand the difference is? Is clean hydrogen the way out of this, or does it have to be green?
Well, we have thousands of times more sources of renewable energy than we do coal or oil or gas. That renewable energy will never run out. Clean hydrogen is a real furphy. If the minister really does the academic study, he'll work out that if we turn oil, coal or gas into hydrogen, we'll create more carbon than if we just burnt the oil, coal or gas. So I'm really worried.
Yeah, but that's when carbon capture and storage, I mean, it's talking about other ways of dealing with those emissions, isn't it? That's what's banking on.
So Angus and I have had a chat, and I've agreed to not say carbon capture and storage fails 19 out of 20 times. To compromise, I've said, I've agreed I'll say it fails, and correctly, at least 9 out of 10 times. So I wouldn't be banking our kids' future on something which is a proven failure. Fran?
Before we go any further, a lot of people writing in saying, hang on, this guy's made billions of dollars from digging up iron ore, shipping it around the world to make steel, and along the way creating millions of tons of emissions. Is it a bit rich for you now, Andrew Forrest, to be lecturing others about green energy after you've made your fortune off the back of fossil fuels?
No, Fran, I'd really like to speak to all those people and say, if people like me do not change, if I don't lead from the front as the Aussie battler I was when I broke into the iron ore sector, which was monstered by really big companies who are keeping everyone else out. Now I'm a very large company myself, and like all of them, a carbon emitter. We need people like me and all of them to be leading the way. If a company who produces no pollution goes green, yeah, great. Slow clap, Fran. We need the heavy emitters, people like me, We have to go green as soon as possible to stop global warming. Let's get after and support those people. We rely on all those products. All those people who rode in are going to hop in their car or walk into the house. It's all made out of steel. If community relies on these companies, which are heavy emitters, then let's push them to go green because they're the ones which can control global warming.
Yeah, we have to turn that around. So, but should you be, should companies like yours who've made so much out of Australia's natural resources, should you be benefiting from government incentives? Because incentives are now going to flow for technologies like green hydrogen.
Yeah, look, you know, what made me watery-eyed in that huge, huge operation when I watched the world's first haul truck operating. I climbed up and drove it. I was the third person, only two before me after the engineers who invented it, Fran. What made me watery-eyed wasn't the dust. It was the fact that it hasn't happened earlier. What stood on the hose of the world going green decades ago? Now, we know what that is, Fran, and we've got to get after it now. We've got to push through those barriers. And I would say, just coming back to your former point about clean hydrogen, can I just say, Fran, that's like clean coal, or that's like cancer-free tobacco. It's a good one-liner. But it's not true. Clean hydrogen is only green hydrogen.
So to make green hydrogen, it's going to take an enormous amount of renewable energy. What's the most potent force of renewable energy for that process? Is it solar? Is it wind? Where do you see it coming from? Is it hydro?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. Well, there's every source, tidal, geothermal, solar, wind, they all work fabulously well. For Australia, though, we have this miraculous combination of really great sunlight in the day and pretty solid wind at night. And that means that we could become, if we crack on, Fran, if we take some really big steps now, which other nations are also taking, but they don't have our natural advantages, Fran. If we take charge of our natural advantages, then we can become the hydrogen centre. And all these jobs which are going to be created, they're all in the regions, they're all in the bush.
Let's talk about jobs. Let's talk about jobs, because we had an interview here on the program yesterday with National Senate leader Bridget McKenzie. She said that the jobs promise for regional Australia, she's worried it's a mirage. Are you promising a lot of jobs? How many? And are they long-term, well-paid jobs?
Yeah, look, Fran, that's slightly disappointing. I spoke to Bridget and Barnaby Joyce yesterday. I'm quite sure that they are capable of hearing the facts. I know Mr. Joyce absolutely was. Bridget was a bit impatient, you know, wanted to get off the line. We need to stop scaring Australians. We need to stop fear-mongering. You might crack a few more votes at the coming election, but after this coming election, you'll be seen for what you are, just a fear-monger to try and save your political job, not the jobs of every regional Australian who, when coal, oil and gas does subside, everyone knows that it has been, it is and will continue to. If you stand in the road, if you stand in the road of Australia, creating those tens of thousands of jobs in regional Australia and their powerhouses, but not in our country, in everyone else's, then you'll only have those politicians who scared you into voting Nats for no reason.
So we're throwing around big numbers here. The New South Wales Premier yesterday said investments in green hydrogen production will create 10,000 high-paying jobs in the industry by 2030 in places like the Illawarra and the Hunter. People want to know what those jobs will look like. Someone's written in and said, will the people working in your green hydrogen plants be paid as much as the people working in your iron ore mines?
Yeah, Fran, look, I think the Premier was correctly conservative, but it will be seen as absolutely conservative, provided people vote for the Nationals because they encourage green hydrogen, because they encourage jobs in the bush, then we will grasp that future. I can say this. We need all those skills from coal miners, from oil and gas, from people in the regions. They are the exact careers which we need right now to build out our green hydrogen future. And people shouldn't say, oh, that's just the future. That's rubbish. We are committing to New South Wales over $1 billion. We are committing to East Brisbane, $400 million. We're committing to the world's first green electrolyzer manufacturing centre, which is going to be of great scale, $1 billion. So people can't say, oh, watch what he says, because I'm out there doing it. And I would say about high-paid jobs, yes, Fran, these are really well-paid permanent jobs. I've never been a person who's been accused of not paying people well. These jobs will be great-paying jobs. I would be getting after that green hydrogen future.
Just finally, Glasgow, the UN climate conference is coming up. I think you're planning to attend. You were critical of the idea that Prime Minister Scott Morrison might not go. Have you spoken to him? Do you expect the Prime Minister will attend Glasgow now?
Look, I do keep as much encouragement as I can on our politicians, particularly the PM. He will be very, very high profile if he doesn't go. I would like him to be high profile because he's out there shoulder to shoulder with me, selling Australia's fantastic future to the people of the world as a green hydrogen centre, that Australians do not have to import their oil and gas from people they will never meet and never know, that they can produce all the energy they want right in their own backyard, take control of their own economic and their own energy sovereignty. Let's bring it back to Australia, Fran.
The coalition government is still fighting to get agreement on net zero emissions by 2050. It's the 11th hour, just not a couple of weeks away now from the Glasgow conference. What does this say to the world about our commitment to emissions reduction?
It says we've got a really noisy, bubbly, contradictory often a democracy, but I think Australia will get this right. I'll be terribly surprised if we don't get this right. I know the leader of the Nationals, I know every single political party of real substance knows with absolute fact that there's tens of billions of dollars lining up for those countries who declared they're going to turn their economies green.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Those fund managers, Fran, they want to make a buck too. That's quite okay. And their numbers have told them those economies which declare they're going to go green and have the race to net zero in the next 20 years, their economies are going to grow the fastest. Their regions are going to have the most job and they'll make the best investments. So if Australia doesn't do it, all that capital, obviously, goes to the economies who will grow.
Okay.
We'll take charge of the green hydrogen future. And that may not be ours if we don't get it right by COP.
Just finally and briefly, 2050 is one thing. The International Energy Agency says yesterday Australia needs a strong commitment for 2030 and 2050 to future-proof the Australian economy. Where do you think the government should land for a midterm 2030 target?
Well, look, the Japanese economy really cranked into gear, when their Prime Minister said we'd like to be down by 46%. The 2020 emissions, I think, anywhere between 40 and 50 is possible for Australia, Fran, and it is absolutely necessary for Australia. And there's the capital there, and there's the people out in the regions wanting those great jobs who are ready to go to build these projects out. I think we should be doing that too. But Fran, the big one is 2050. Let's not have any voter out there be under any question that we have a huge future in hydrogen. It is the source of all future mobility. Australia, not Saudi Arabia, not Venezuela, but Australia can produce that hydrogen. We can make our economy what it should be, and that's independent and our energy what it should be, and that's Australian.
Andrew Forrest, thank you very much for joining us today, and hopefully we can perhaps be in touch with you from Glasgow. Thank you.
And you'd be most welcome. Thank you.
Andrew Forrest is the chair of Fortescue Metals.